In the studio with me today is Ashley Capps, founder of AC Entertainment and the Big Ears Festival. So that must mean one thing. It's time to talk about the lineup reveal for the 2020 Big Ears Festival. Welcome, Ashley. I always look forward to this chat.
Thanks, Melanie. I do too. It's always fun.
Well, the first thing I want to ask you is, what's new for 2020? Any additions or changes to the festival itself?
The basic blueprint of the festival stay the same. We're going to have a little over 100 concerts over 4 days in about a dozen different venues. And there's, of course, films and talks and discussions and workshops and a number of other experiences during the weekend as well. Really excited about this year's particular lineup. We've got some world premiere performances, either the first time in North America or in a couple of cases, the first time that the work has been performed live. And we're bringing back a few familiar names and also a lot of newcomers to the Big Ears lineup too.
Is there going to be a particular focus for this year's festival? Like 2 years ago, it seemed to be Appalachian music, and last year maybe women composers.
It's funny. I think in many ways the focus of Big Ears is that it has no focus, or maybe it's a collection of multiple focuses. But this year, actually, there are quite a few women composers again. I'm really excited that the Pulitzer Prize winner Caroline Shaw is coming back. Mm-hmm. She performed last year as part of Roomful of Teeth, but she really hasn't performed her own work here yet. And she has a beautiful solo concert, fun solo concert that she does, violin and voice. And then she'll also be collaborating with So Percussion. And then I'm super excited about Natalie Joachim, who is best known probably. She was here with the Eighth Blackbird, their flutist and singer. She's Haitian, and she's written this beautiful tribute to the women of Haiti. And she'll be performing that with the Spectral Quartet. That record just came out, and there's rave reviews all over the place about it, and I can't wait to see it live.
Mum, boy, and there's a coffee.
Natalie's not only an incredible performer, but also a very, very gifted composer. So very excited about that. Meredith Monk's coming back, and this is one of the world premieres. She's been collaborating now for a couple of years on a series of songs with Bang on a Can. And this will be the first time that that complete work will have been performed live, and that will be a festival finale, actually, at the Tennessee Theater. Meredith Monk and Bang on a Can, and both of them, both Meredith Monk and Bang on a Can, have a couple of surprises up their sleeve separately during the weekend as well. So it's always fun to have them around.
Yeah, that's exciting.
We're celebrating Anthony Braxton's 75th birthday, and that's going to be Braxton's going to play solo, which is one of his trademark things that he pioneered back in the starting in the late 1960s, and he rarely performs solo these days. So he'll be giving a solo concert, a trio concert, but debuting a new ensemble that he calls the Thunder Music Ensemble. And that will be a world premiere, first time that that group has performed live. And speaking of birthdays, we're going to be celebrating Terry Riley's 85th birthday.
Wow.
And there'll be a series of concerts, and Terry will be performing with his son, Gian. And also, we hope, on the brand new pipe organ at St. John's Cathedral.
That would be quite a dedication.
It'll be awesome. This won't be the inaugural performance, but it'll be one of the early ones. And his early organ works are legendary. So having him revisit some of that will be really exciting.
And I'm seeing that he may also collaborate with the Kronos Quartet.
That's true. Kronos Quartet's coming back, and they have two programs that they'll be doing, both of which honor Terry's legacy in substantial ways. One of them is this work that they have created with filmmaker Sam Green. It's called A Thousand Thoughts, and it features Terry and his work pretty extensively. Terry's relationship with Kronos Quartet goes back to the 1970s. It's very deep. And then the second concert they'll be doing will also be I think it'll feature at least some of Sun Rings, which has just been released, but also some of Terry's other works over the years with Kronos.
I love that album. It just came out, and I'm kind of obsessed with it, actually.
It's beautiful. You know, that was one of the first things that was performed at the Tennessee Theater when it was renovated.
Really?
You know, after it reopened, after the renovation, we had Kronos come and perform Sun Rings with all of the visuals and stuff like that. It was amazing.
Curious about this collaboration called Electric Appalachia. Could you tell us a little more about that?
Well, this is something that I'm very curious about as well. But guitarist William Tyler is an amazing guitarist who draws on Appalachian traditions, but in a very fresh, modern perspective. And he's going to be working with this wonderful harp player, Mary Lattimore. Both William and Mary have been at previous Big Ears and performed in a variety of different contexts. But this is a collaboration with TAMIS, the Tennessee Archive of Moving Image and Sound, who are archivists, you know, delving deeply into Knoxville's history and the history of the region with, you know, home movies and found footage and all sorts of archival materials. So they are collaborating with William and Mary to put together this very special work, which doesn't exist yet. So I haven't seen it, and I'm very curious about it myself.
Another ensemble that I'm curious about is Sons of Chipotle.
Sons of Chipotle. This is John Paul Jones from Led Zeppelin, the bass player from Led Zeppelin.
Yeah,
Who is one of these amazing artists who just can't keep still. So John Paul Jones, since Led Zeppelin days, has explored so many different musical tangents. You know, he's quite the bluegrass and folk music player. You know, he plays mandolin. He's worked a lot with Gillian Welch and Dave Rawlings and produced the Uncle Earl Band, who were at Big Ears last year. And now John Paul Jones is collaborating with the world-renowned Finnish cellist Anssi Kartanson. And I'm not exactly sure what they're up to there. I think John Paul Jones mostly plays piano and electronics in this collaboration. I believe they just debuted in Tokyo back in early September. This will definitely be the first performance in North America. And so, again, I'm as curious as anyone what this is about, but both of these artists are giants in their field, and it'll be, I'm sure, quite fascinating.
Yeah.
I doubt we'll hear a whole lot of love, but we'll see.
Maybe one of the pop-up concerts.
Who knows? Anything is possible.
There seem to be a lot of jazz artists on the lineup this year. Who were some that you would love to talk about a little bit?
Well, I'm really proud of the jazz lineup this year, and there's a lot of young jazz artists that we're particularly proud to be presenting. There's also an interesting tie-in for the festival this year because this spring, the Knoxville Museum of Art has its Buford Delaney James Baldwin exhibition, which is something that I'm really, really looking forward to. And when we first learned that this exhibition would be taking place and would be up during the Big Ears Festival, our first reaction was, okay, how can we interface with that in a way that's really meaningful? And one of the first people I thought about is Jason Moran. Jason has a tribute to James Reese Europe, who is one of the early ragtime pianists and part of the early Harlem scene. So Jason has put together the band the Harlem Hellfighters, in a tribute to James Reese Europe, and that will be a presentation at the Tennessee Theater. It also involves film, and we're really excited to have Jason come back to the festival. There may be a couple of other things that he has up his sleeve as well. And, you know, some of the other great jazz artists that are coming include Myra Melford, an amazing pianist. Her band Snowy Egret have been at the top of NPR's top jazz records of the last few years. It's a really beautiful, special group. I'm also really excited about this New Orleans connection. Aurora Nealon, a saxophonist and singer who plays traditional New Orleans music and then takes it into really unexpected places. So she's coming with her band, the Royal Roses, and they'll be performing a couple of times during the weekend as well. And some really exciting young jazz artists, from guitarist Jeff Parker and his band, The New Breed. Drummer Dan Weiss is bringing his Stair Baby. The Shabaka Hutchings, who was like one of the stars of last year's festival, he played twice with two different bands, the Sons of Kemet and the Comet is coming. Mm-hmm. And he's bringing his what you might call spiritual jazz band. It's a beautiful group called Shabaka and the Ancestors that harkens back to a certain tradition of the 60s and 70s that was pioneered by John Coltrane and Pharoah Sanders. Mm-hmm. Shabaka is one of the young giants of the sax. Christian Scott from New Orleans, the trumpet player, Steve Coleman and Five Elements. There's a really fantastic jazz component to the festival this year.
Yeah, yeah. Another name that wasn't familiar to me was Annette Peacock, and I looked her up. Mm-hmm. She looks very fascinating as well.
Annette Peacock is one of those enigmatic figures in music that captured my imagination when I first started discovering jazz in the late 60s. She's written a series of really evocative compositions that are still mainstays in the jazz repertoire these days. She had a really fascinating career that's hard to pin down. She was tapped by David Bowie's management at one point and created a rock record, you might call it, that was a real harbinger of things to come, but definitely before its time, called I'm the One. She was married to Paul Blay, the great jazz pianist, for a while, and then to Gary Peacock, the great jazz bassist. And she was also at the forefront of introducing the Moog synthesizer into jazz and improvised music. But she's one of these restless artists that has never been willing to let herself be pinned down. Mm-hmm. Whether she's playing with the string quartet or playing solo or playing acoustic or playing electronics, you're definitely going to get the work of a really inspired, brilliant artist. And she rarely plays these days. So having Annette Peacock come give one of her rare solo concerts during Big Ears is certainly one of the highlights of the festival. Very excited about that.
Are there any world music groups that will be performing?
Well, yes. I mentioned Haiti because of Natalie Joaquin, but we've got a little bit of a Haitian connection that we're exploring. Guitarist Mark Rebo is performing these beautiful classical guitar works that were written by a Haitian composer named Franz Casius, who also was Mark's teacher at a very young age. And there are some other Haitian components that are still being explored, but we're really excited about that. So there's this kind of interesting link from Haiti to New Orleans and up the river, and suddenly you're in Tennessee. One of the Haitian bands is also this incredibly just electrifying, I call it a voodoo blues band, called Moonlight Benjamin. Mm-hmm. And that'll be one of the highlights too. And then we have this interesting Mediterranean influence in the festival this year, from both North Africa, from Egypt in particular, and the Egyptian underground. Maurice Luca and Nada El Shazli are both going to be performing. And then from Armenia, Arani Agbabian, who made one of the most absolutely stunningly beautiful records that I've ever heard in my life for ECM this year. It's been a staple at the house. It's just one of those records that you really can't quite get enough of, because it puts you in such a special place. And so fortunately, Arani lives in the United States now. She lives in Los Angeles, and we were able to make some contact. So she's giving a performance, the music from that album.
Yeah, I actually listened to a little bit of that album, and I totally agree with what you said. It's just transfixing, her voice and the way she plays the piano, and it's beautiful.
Yeah. Yes. We have have some cool rock stuff too. You know, I'm really excited that the Icelandic band Mum is coming. They were an integral part of the alternative rock scene back in the late 1990s in particular. They really haven't functioned regularly as a band now for 15 years or so, but occasionally they get back together and play live. And so it's a really rare opportunity to hear Mum. Kim Gordon, best known perhaps from Sonic Youth days, but she's returning to the festival for a collaborative project that involves Andy Warhol's film Kiss, which is exactly that. And she'll be performing with guitarist Bill Nace and Steve Gunn and drummer John Trusinski.
That sounds very intriguing.
That'll be very interesting. It'll be fun.
Well, last but not least, do you think that the Big Ears Festival is changing how the world sees Knoxville?
That's an interesting question. I think it has. I think the Big Ears Festival has definitely put Knoxville on the map, on the cultural map. It's amazing to me in many ways, but as I travel, I realize that it has become one of the most anticipated cultural events within a certain sphere worldwide. And that's really wonderful. I'm blown away by that. I think it's also, just as importantly, started to transform how Knoxville thinks of itself. I like to think that it's been a bit of a catalyst in simply opening up a sense of possibility of, you know, what you can become, what your community can become. And so that's exciting, too. I like to say that we bring the world to Knoxville, but we showcase Knoxville to the world. The city's important in this festival because what it offers in terms of infrastructure, the venues that we have, the walkability between the venues, the character of our city, the great restaurants. We now have lots of hotels. The entire experience of being in Knoxville also supports the nature of this event. It makes that sense of coming together for a shared purpose for people coming from all over the world possible, and something that would be difficult to replicate in a larger city. Things are much more spread out. There are many more distractions. And so Knoxville's proven to be, in many ways, kind of the perfect environment for this.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that I overhear a lot while I go to the festival is people talking about how much they love the city and how they find it charming. They're enjoying it a lot. I don't know if people have a perception or like an idea of what they think we are, but I think when they get here, it's different.
What I discovered is that people definitely had a perception of what Knoxville was. And you could argue that some of that perception was not incorrect, especially at a certain time. But it felt very unfair to me. And the beautiful thing that I've experienced since that time, especially back when we first launched the festival in 2009, is that skepticism that we encountered sometimes about people coming to Knoxville for this event is gone. People come and they do, in fact, fall in love with the city. And I think they recognize that the city provides this really unique and conducive environment that really makes the festival as special as it is. And those two things work together hand in hand.
Ashley Katz, founder of the Big Ears Festival, as always, so great to talk to you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Big Ears 2020 is March 26th through 29th in various venues throughout downtown Knoxville. The official lineup has been released today, October the 8th. Tickets go on sale on October 10th. More information online at BigEarsFestival.com. Thank you.